Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Diary of a Seeker, Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student, Volume 1 by Daniel Hayashi, is a collection of short stories that explore the theme of spirituality, a revelation into the majesty of our spirits, which we deny ourselves and each other. How astute introspection and reflection invokes our hearts and soul self-awareness, ultimately awakening and freeing the Christ consciousness. Daniel graduated from what is now California Institute of the Arts in 1970 with a BA in Fine Arts and a minor in Psychology. He and his wife Suzanne owned a publications and graphic arts company in Manhattan Beach, California, until retiring to Arizona. He was guided to do so. This collection of tales is a result of that spiritual calling. Daniel Hayashi, author of Diary of a Seeker, Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student, Volume 1, is our guest on This Week in America. Dan, welcome to the program, sir. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, the pleasure is mutual. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing fine and looking forward to this. It is always fun when I learn something, and I feel I'm going to during the course of our conversation today. I love what you've done in the book. The reviews have been excellent. We'll give you all the information where it's available as we go through the conversation today. But what was the inspiration to write this book? You move, you retire, you've got a lot of time on your hands, you're relaxing, and you write this book to give guidance to all of us. What was the inspiration for the book Diary of a Seeker?
Well, I've had a lot of spiritual experiences during my life. And when I was about 35 years old in California, I had this vision that I would someday write a spiritual book, of which I had no concept or idea what it was going to be about. But I knew it was going to be spiritual, and I got waylaid by the fact that my wife and I ran a technical arts firm in Manhattan Beach, and we got sidetracked with, you know, raising children and the responsibility of a home and all that, that common stuff we all share together.
You know,
at any rate, go ahead.
Yeah, finish up that story because it's fascinating how this all came about. I love this, that there for a period of your life, it was the last thing you thought about doing was writing a book on spirituality.
Right. So because of all those responsibilities and things confronting us while you're maturing in your family life, it got sidetracked and I thought, well, maybe I'll never do it. Although I felt compelled at one time, it was being put to the side. So what started it was that when I moved to Arizona with my wife, I picked up a side job before retirement. And I started doing things like building decks, delivering appliances and installing them, all the things that had nothing to do with my graphic arts or my desire to write. But I just took it all in, and then I started every morning writing my wife, you know, salutations and love notes to let her know I loved her. And it evolved gradually into very moral, complex little short stories that I gave to her on almost a daily basis. In the 210 days that that volume one represents, there are 179 separate short stories that just flooded my mind every morning. And I wrote them on, you know, quarter inch college rule paper. And I just gave them to my wife, sent it to a dear friend who was a former customer in California, who we'd become mutually very close to. And they were giving me such positive feedback that just kind of got the ball rolling. And I just started outpouring all of these images, and I would hear things, I would see things, they would gel. And pretty soon I felt like, I was not so much a medium, but someone was right there guiding me. And I just kept writing and writing and writing.
Our guest on This Week in America is Daniel Hayashi. That's H-A-Y-A-S-H-I. The book is Diary of a Seeker, a Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student, Volume 1. It's interesting you mentioned how this all came about, and you had spiritual experiences all through your life, and then suddenly you started paying attention to them. And as you mentioned that, I wonder, do we all have spiritual experiences, do you think, from time to time? We just don't necessarily know it.
Yes. I'm a firm believer that because of what happened with Moses, the burning bush, when God said, I am that I am, and beside me there is no other. We cannot exist outside of God. We are within God, and God is within us. And this is what we fail to recognize also, that every scripture in every religious text conveys the fact that we are immortals. And I think that in our societies today, we're very fear-based on, you know, our health and all kinds of
yes.
things, which constantly drives us away from that sense of inner being, which is that glint of spark of God within all of us. That's why I'm certain that all of us carry that Christ spark. I believe that I had an epiphany maybe about a few years before writing the book, that looking and comparing all the basic tenets of every religion, they're almost identical, if not so very similar. And that God obviously got his message out to every creed, culture, and nation. Despite what we call our differences, most of every difference we claim forces us to keep clannish and believe that all of these surface values that we put on each other, which are basically very material, have nothing to do with what's inside of us all, which is that God force that we ignore. And here's another assertion I want to make. Because I'm also an illustrator and an artist, and I have pictures and drawings in the book, I believe there are times that we give credit to ourselves when we are really either inspired with a thought to invent something, or we have this beautiful vision of something very glorious and uplifting, and it's not all our own doing, that we're being assisted constantly. Old books tell us, you know, there's angels involved and guides, and I think it's all of those things. How's that?
Well, I'm just absorbing what you're saying, because, so often we give ourselves credit. You know, I'm really smart. Look what I just did. And you're saying not necessarily by yourself. They might have had a little help along the way in doing that. This is such a fascinating conversation, and it continues in the book, Diary of a Seeker, Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student by Daniel Hayashi. That's Hayashi. And the book is available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. We'll give you all that as we go through the program. You mentioned imagery, and you do have that, the cover through the book. What was the background of that? How did you come up with the imagery for Diary of a Seeker?
Well, I would get these images at first when I was in art school, Chouinard Art Institute, that became California Institute of the Arts. And I was drawing more images that were, I would say, of the Greek era and medieval times.
Yes.
And I was heavily influenced by Michelangelo. Everybody else in my classes thought I was deluded, because they were doing modern art, and I would draw angels and images of, these beautiful... you're probably familiar with a lot of beautiful Italian statuary.
Oh, yes.
Michelangelo,
yes.
Botticelli. The list goes on and on. And I've always admired those. So I kind of created my own little world, despite the fact everybody put up with me. And that's how I got into illustrations and fine art. And then I always had a flair for caricatures. That's why I also got into 9 children's books that I put out recently, 3 of them coloring books.
You know,
so I'm kind of all over the table.
I love that. As I'm reading, it's like the children's books, which would be a fascinating program unto itself, talking about what went into writing the children's books. Our guest is Daniel Hayashi, Hayashi. Book this one, Diary of a Seeker, available wherever books are sold. Some of the passages in your stories share moral points in the form of maxims or wise passages. How did you come by this wisdom? Where did this come from?
Well,
okay.
I'm going to humble myself before the fact that a lot of the phraseology, I have a tendency in my writings to be a kind of elaborate, fanciful, And I love adjectives, particularly because I have this compulsion to share the imagery that is passing through my mind.
Yes.
And a lot of times when I'm writing, a word would come to me that's an adjective that I don't fully understand, but I just kept writing. And I found out later, after I started spell checking and looking on the computer for definitions, like in a thesaurus, that, oh, that's a good word for that adjective. So to me, this proves that it's not all me. I'm being utilized as a tool, but in many cases, some force of higher mind and exacting description helps me along so that I can draw the reader into describing the picture more accurately. Between the imagery, I actually see like little movie snippets sometimes, and that takes me down a storyline. And sometimes it's the words and the adjectives that help me to choose out of seeming like thin air. And between my wife and this dear friend in California, who I gave both almost daily stories, they said, and helped me realize that these stories were really good stories. So I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm bragging, because I don't believe I deserve all the credit.
You know, it's interesting. Well, the visual artist comes alive, and you can tell that in your writing, that we can visualize. So you're sure that, okay, as the writer, Daniel was able to do this and present it in such a visual way. It's not just words, but words that form a visualization as we're reading them. You talk about assistants as you're doing this. Any idea who, what, why you're being assisted in conveying your stories?
Well, let me say, in recent years, the dignity of America and all its immigrants have become, I would say, demeaned by a lot of conflict, a lot of clannishism that divides us. And this, out of the daily writings I gave my wife that were evolving, it suddenly became clear to me that God's word needs to be reestablished, because I believe that whether we choose to believe it or not, we have no choice. We're all spiritual souls. And the fact that we have such a treasure trove of beauty within us, that it needs to be evoked, it needs to be ignited, it needs, the lid has to be lifted. And that can only happen if you have faith. And my belief is that everyone's real true happiness and ability to cope with all the suffering and the sorrows, that they will be able to see this better if they realize that they're immortal. So they will face death with no fear. They will face life without fear. They will be confident that in their moves, if they listen, they'll be guided, and the outcomes will be so positive, and their tomorrows will make them so wise that they will finally reach what Christ told in his scriptures, that in the New Testament, that these things that I do, others will do and more. And it can't be possible without the system of reincarnation, because if we're to believe, and by the way, the Igbo Christians I think it's Nairobi. I may have that country wrong, but they believe in reincarnation, and they're Christians. And I believe that reincarnation can apply to every religion, despite the differences, and that if we open our mind, we can see that if none of us today are reaching the miraculous behavior that Christ exhibited to convince others of their God, then they have more learning to do. And they're certainly not going to jump in the arms of Jesus if they can, pardon me, utilizing, abusing, and being tyrannical with their brothers, or deciding that because of the color of their skin that they're not as valuable. These are values that have nothing to do with any spiritual teachings. In fact, they're denied. And I believe that all of us, regardless of your faith, because God reached all religions and reached all his people, that they will come to the same conclusion eventually, because their souls and their brilliance have no choice but to come out.
You know, in your book, you speak of the Christ of God principle as though it's endowed in every soul's potential. Could you be more specific? Is that actually the case, do you think?
Yes. I believe that that spark is something that is latent, that we come with. It's like, okay, let's compare it to genetics. Your father, your physical flesh father, gave you, along with your mother, gave you and passed on to you your appearance, the color of your hair, your eyes, et cetera, et cetera. And even maybe the propensity of how your body will respond to either abuse, healthy living, eating right, and all those things. Well, I believe the soul, in a more magnanimous way, possesses and houses that perfection that God gave you. Otherwise, you couldn't be immortal anyway. And I don't believe in what Christian ministers used to tell me when I was a Protestant child, that hell and damnation is what we face if we don't follow the rules. Well, it's a lot easier to follow a guide of love than it is to be fearful
yes.
and not do the wrong things.
It's so interesting, and this way this book is really, it will get you thinking. Diary of a Seeker, Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student by Daniel Hayashi, our guest on the program. If you're Googling, that's Hayashi. Book it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. We'll give you all that as we wrap up the conversation here today. Many of your tales in the book, Diary of a Seeker, reflect a devotion, higher principles, and righteousness. Why do you think this is so important for all of us?
Well, I hope I'm not being too, let's say, out there in space, but I believe that principles and higher ideals are basically the messages coming from your latent Christ principle, the light of God that is in you because you're his or her child. And by the way, I don't believe totally in the image that God is male. On Earth, in order to propagate our kind, we need the two to be together to produce our children. But I believe that the feminine and the masculine are one in the God force. Am I getting aside from your question?
No. I'm fascinated by your insight and what you're sharing with us. And I think so many people will go like, yeah, I really think I need to read this book because I think he's onto something that will help me with my life.
Yes, I believe that the conscience is kind of the message center of the Christ principle that lives inside you.
Yes.
And when we see suffering in children and starvation, and we look at the news and our hearts are broken, I believe that this is your message center, your inner Christ, your conscience saying, hey, can you do something about this? What can you afford to do? Is your neighbor just lost their husband of 25 years? Your niece just died in a car accident. Let's go console the family, the aunts, the nieces, whatever, and be there for them, because we came from the unity of God, and that's where we're going to return perfected.
Yes. Just a few minutes left in the program. A couple quick questions here. When we started, you talked about, you were involved in real life, being a husband, being a parent, being a business operator. And you end up writing this book that is impacting so many lives, Diary of a Seeker. Do you believe all of those experiences you went through earlier in life shaped who you are as a writer, almost like maybe because you went through that, that was sort of destiny for you to be Daniel the writer?
That's a very interesting question. First of all, I believe I'm the product of all my total experiences, yes. Obviously. And what can't be explained clearly just by me talking about it, I would say comes from past living, before this life. I came here with certain propensities and tendencies because of the past, and I felt that because I believe in those experiences as good and directing me in a good fashion towards my own perfection, and that it's all the forces of God, that God clings to all of us and myself so that I can reach and determine good things that will happen tomorrow the closer I listen to my inspiration. My inspiration, I believe, is God, through images, through words, through essentially a lot of feelings that most of us ignore, that I, when I was younger, I ignored myself. And I realized, because we've always been, my wife and I have always landed on our feet, and we've had our troubles in life, and yet somehow we came out of all of this, which just confirmed to me that I've got to stay on this track, that I've got to build it stronger,
yes.
That I got to start using my art and the images and the feelings I have and put them down in writing. And that's what has been driving me and still does.
Yeah, we're back to spiritual experiences and recognition of those spiritual experiences. I'm going to take a 30 seconds here at the end. What do you hope the takeaway is when somebody reads Diary of a Seeker, Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student? What do you hope the takeaway is for the reader?
My takeaway is that my heart will be enlarged if I've done anything. I don't care if it's one sentence or one word where one of my readers or God's readers says, oh boy, I feel better right now. Or, oh geez, I didn't ever look at those things
yes.
that way. That's what would give me a great deal of satisfaction before I leave this planet and maybe come back again. Hopefully I won't have to, but I'll do whatever I'm supposed to.
Well, don't leave right away. This is volume one. Assuming there'll be a volume two, maybe a volume three. Are you working on number two?
I already have volume two. I just marketed one. And in the back of this printed matter now, I just added the fact that you can get volume two also at Amazon and the nine children's books. I put a little ad at the end of the, after the finale of the book.
Well, and you can Google Daniel and get all the information on Volume 1, Volume 2, and the children's books. It's Daniel Hayashi. That's Hayashi. You'll find all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I want to ask you just briefly, you've been working in with Reader's Magnet in getting the word out there about this particular book, Diary of a Seeker. What's that experience been like working with Reader's Magnet?
Except for a couple of little technical problems in our phone calls and messaging, the personnel are just superior. I would say that they're extremely godly people. They're very kind. Of course, they're marketers, so marketers tend to be very sales-oriented, and maybe with some quieter and more humble souls, they might feel that that's kind of pressure tactics, but I have to admit, there are times when I don't care how spiritual you are, you need people to help you market and get out your word. That's why Jesus had disciples.
So, well, that's interesting. And to do this and have this wonderful life-altering book and not alter lives because people aren't reading it sort of defeats the purpose of writing it in the first place. So there's so much, as always, there's so much insight into what you just said with that. I appreciate that. And boy, Daniel, the time has gone by so quickly. I hope we can do this again. The book is Diary of a Seeker, Tales and Anecdotes of a Life Student, Volume 1. Daniel Hayashi. That's Hayashi. Dan, a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Good luck with everything. Congratulations on the success of this book. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure was mine, Rick. Have a wonderful life.
Thank you. You as well. It's been a pleasure. Daniel Hayashi, our guest, Diary of a Seeker, the book, available on Amazon, the usual places, and information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.